WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. And I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Let's see what we can do. Now, let's see what God can do in 30 minutes here today. Happy Wednesday to you. This probably should have played on Monday, and I didn't get it in on time, so I let Who Has Bewitched You replay again on Monday and Tuesday. So now here it is Wednesday, and today we will hear what I just preached on Sunday, the next sermon in this series here of in the book of Galatians. This sermon I've entitled The Purpose of the Law, and that's the subject heading if you have a New King James Bible for where we're at next. We're in Galatians chapter 3. Prior to getting started, it is Wednesday. That means we have Bible study tonight. We are in Romans chapter 9. Oh, we're going to have a great time in the Word tonight. You are invited. Love to see you. 6 o'clock tonight. So if you're listening into the rebroadcast of WGOD, that means it's about 5:33 right now. That means you still have 27 minutes to turn your car and head to 1000 North Banana River Drive. That's 1000 North Banana River Drive. Put it into your GPS if you're not sure where it is. It's Island Community Church. The sign is by the road. The church is set back a little bit here. It's a long driveway. We'd love to see you. We roll out the blackboard. It's open for questions and, Lord willing, answers. Love to see you tonight, 6 o'clock tonight. I promise to get you out by 5 minutes after 7. Why don't you come by and take part in our Bible study? Great text. Again, the end of Romans 8, and then we'll get into Romans chapter 9. Here today, we're continuing this series of Paul's letter to the Galatians. He was madder than a hornet at these guys because they were, well, as he says himself, that's what we just heard yesterday, Monday and Tuesday. He says, I marvel that you're turning away so quickly, or who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed among you as crucified. See, people went in after he left and tried to corrupt the gospel. And when you add anything to grace alone, by faith alone, for your salvation, you're corrupting, and Paul said, perverting the gospel. Okay, this is part one of this message now, the purpose of the law.
Okay, I started out with the title for this, The Law Was. But this is a much more appropriate title for this sermon. It would be The Purpose of the Law. It's also the subject heading if you have a New King James Bible over this portion of Scripture we're going to look at here today. Let's pray first before we get started. Lord, words are just words without you giving us the understanding. And we pray right now, Lord, that you lead us and guide us. Fill us with wisdom and understanding. Help us to shine the light of truth on this text we're going to look at here today. Speak to us where we know that you speak. That is in your word. We have ears to hear here today. We come into your house. We listen for your voice. Speak to us through your word here now this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, the purpose of the law, which naturally is a logical conclusion that one would come to after listening to the apostle. I mean, look again at these things he's just told us. Now, if you're following along on Facebook or on the app, we're in Galatians chapter 3. Grab your wide margin Bibles. Look at all the things that Paul has just said. Starting in chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." So, wow, he says, cursed is everyone. Cursed is everyone who does not continually keep every commandment. Should I read that again? Yeah, let's. Cursed is everyone who doesn't continually keep every commandment. Verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. All right, here he's telling the people that no one can ever get right with God by keeping the law. So we can see why the question, well, why the law, was formulating in their minds here. Then at the end of the verse, he gave us a hint that the Old Testament actually does reveal to us how we're supposed to live in the meantime. He says, the just shall live by faith. That is, you, in the meantime, believe God at his word. That's what's required of you. Without the Messiah, do what Abraham did. Believe God at his word. That's what's required of you. When he says the just shall live by faith. No matter what time or what age that you live in, what's required of you is to live by faith. Right? The Bible before Jesus said Abraham believed God. And his faith was accounted to him as righteousness. So we see it a little bit revealed there in the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith. But then he says in verse 12, yet the law is not of faith. In other words, you won't find the solution in the law, the Old Testament book of rules that God gave to Moses. So if the law is righteous, and it is, then someone, by golly, is going to have to pay the price for what I've done, right? I mean, I was just told I have to do everything written in the book continually. And if I don't, someone's got to pay for it, right? Either me or someone that's willing to take the penalty for me. This I know, someone is going to have to pay this cost. Someone is going to have to fit this bill. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things written in the law. God bless you. And it's as simple as that. Because the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. Enter in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Next verse, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, look what it says, how he did it. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse. Even more horrifying than that is how it reads in the King James Version. It says this, being made a curse. Can you imagine that, Brent? Being made. Think of all the things that God makes. He sends them out to the potter's wheel, right? The potter's got the lump and he makes it into something. Look what God did with his son. He made him to be a curse. Look what happened to my Lord. hangs on the tree. Now that tree was the cross. As for the curse, well, the curse arose out of the old covenant law. If you would turn with me here, we're going to go back to the fifth book of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. It's so wonderful, too, to see so many visitors today. Thank you so much. I see at least three or four visitors today and some old friends back as well. Kathy, so great to see you. Some new people and some old faces back. And what a great work God's doing here at Island, as you can see. Okay. Now, before I get started, for those that have been following along here every week in Galatians, we've heard the law, we've heard the word law a million times in this church, right? Law this, law that, law, law, law. What does it mean? Now, allow me, grant me 8 minutes here this morning to finally break that down for you and tell you what the law is that I keep talking about every week. Okay? It's in Deuteronomy chapter 27, starting in verse 14. Deuteronomy 27, 14. How's the cordless working back there, Danny? Is it working? Is it working? Excellent. Okay, good. Deuteronomy 27, 14. And the Levites shall speak not Moses' command in the Jews here. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsmen, and sets it up in secret. And all the people will answer and say, all right, this is like a service here. The charge is read, and the congregation says, when the word means, so be it. Or today we can say, it is what it is. Verse 16. Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt. And the people shall say, cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger or the fatherless and the widow. And the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's bed. All the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister or the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother. And the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. And the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. And the people shall say, cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, amen. And then, in case he forgot anything, he says this in verse 26. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them. And all the people shall say, amen. God help us. Now, let's turn to the second book of the Bible while we're in the Old Testament, because we're talking about law, to the book of Exodus. And I believe this is chapter, I don't know, it's on the handout. Where are we? Excuse me, 20, right? Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. These are a little more familiar maybe with some of us. Now the Lord spoke all of these things, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You will have no other gods before me. You will not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything in heaven above or on earth below, or of anything that is in the water. You will not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations to those that hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and who keep my commandments. Verse 7, you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Meaning, someone's going to pay the price for that, sometime or another, for using God's name in vain. Now, if you've ever done that, so much for you, trying to keep all the rules like people tell you to be right with God. Because James says if you've broken one, you've broken them all. And you're helpless, and you're in need of a redeemer to pay your price and save you out of your predicament that you're in. Moses went on to say, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So that just makes you totally unqualified to redeem anyone, beginning with yourself. You don't have what it takes to pass go. You can't make it in on your own if you've ever used God's name in vain, which you'll probably find out at some point or another includes more than what you think that it does. Not just hitting your thumb with a hammer. So you've already done that, perhaps. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now that means don't work on Saturday. Now that's a commandment that I have broken every Saturday of my adult life. And now he tells you why. 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Neither you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, not your cattle, not your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days, that would be six literal days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it or sanctified it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. So Jesus says you're guilty of that who just looks at another person that you're not married to, secretly desiring them in your heart. Jesus said that person is guilty of adultery. Verse 16, you shall not steal. Verse 15. 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox. You know, I wish I had Hector's ox. Who's done that? Covet your neighbor's ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And there you have the law of God, church. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You know, he must have been really tough to look at this point. What do you think? Being made a curse? By the way, that word for curse is not the word anathema. It's a whole different Greek word. The word is katara. And the word means the opposite of blessing. You know, like we read of blessings and curses. It's not the word anathema, means to set apart for destruction. This is the, like to call down a curse. Or again, the opposite of blessing. Now, after all of that, Paul anticipates the natural question that would follow. And that is in verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? Right? I mean, if the law does that, if Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law, then why the law? Why do you have it? Why does God have it? What purpose are all those commandments that we just read? Now, he's going to answer that question explicitly. He's going to tell you why, first of all. Then he's going to tell you whether or not the law is permanent or not. Then he's going to tell you how it came about. Verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? Answer out of the Bible, it was added because, I'm in verse 19, Galatians 3:19. It was added because of transgressions. Look at the next word. Until. Look, by golly, there's an expiration date on the law, same as there is on a carton of milk. Until the law was added because of your sins, until. The day's coming when it's not going to be valid over you anymore, is what he's saying. It's temporary. It was added because of sins until. Okay, again, what purpose does the law serve? Verse 19. It was added because of transgressions until the seed, capital S, if you got a good Bible, the capital pronouns for God in a Bible, seed. It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator. Who was the mediator? The law. Moses. So the seed, capital S, the seed is Christ. The next chapter, chapter 4, verse 4, is going to tell us when the fullness of time had come. This is one of my favorite Christmas texts. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born, or again, made of a woman, made under the law. All right, onward. Paul anticipates the next question. Since the law and Redeemer are so different, since salvation is of the Lord and salvation has become evident in the new covenant, is the New Testament a contradiction to the old? Verse 21. And I need some audience participation by Carol and Darren in this one. Is the law against the promises of God? Meganoito. Which is Greek for, are you out of your mind, people? It's the most emphatic rejection of a sentence. Is the law against the promises of God? Meganoito. The King James says, God forbid. Some translations say, may it never be. The Esposito translation says, you're out of your mind, friend. For if there, I'll continue verse 21, if there had been a law that would have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. You see, if there was a way that don't do that could have saved us, then how to get right with God would have came about by the law. Verse 22, but the scripture has confined all under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all who believe. Interesting word, this word confined. It means to shut up together, or it means to shut up on all sides. Also, there's a fisherman's term, the application for this. Cap Jim, you know what a shoal is. The word means a shoal of fish in a net. And that's what sin's done to you and I. It's confined us all together. The scripture has confined everyone under sin. So that, you see, here's the light at the end of the tunnel. So that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all those who believe.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. No matter, we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. Say, are you married? We'll say no, man. You can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made. Walking in a winter shine down.